The Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 16.
Glory be to you, O Lord. Glory be to you, O Lord.
A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In reading the Gospels, you get the sense the disciples of Jesus were frequently confused by what he said to them. And in this Gospel today, we have another such occasion. Of course, to be fair to the disciples, Jesus was speaking in a kind of riddle to them, with a little while this and a little while that. But even on occasions when Jesus spoke plainly about this subject, his impending death by crucifixion and his resurrection and return to them, the disciples often didn't grasp what he was saying. But this dialogue is a bit different from those in that Jesus here is emphasizing not so much the necessity of the events themselves, but he's pointing his hearers to the inevitable results of these great events, his death and his resurrection. And that inevitable result is joy. And to teach this, Jesus illustrates using a kind of mini parable about a woman in labor who gives birth to a child and who afterwards remembers her anguish no more. Jesus says that a woman in labor is a woman in pain, and yet because of the joy of welcoming that new child into the world, once that newborn is in her arms, she remembers that anguish no longer and no more. Now here I will freely admit and acknowledge that neither I nor any man have any firsthand experience of what it's like to endure the pain of childbirth. But it does seem that what Jesus is describing here is a commonly known phenomenon, in fact, one that many women will agree with, that yes, for all of its pain and difficulty, the joy of welcoming a child into the world does overcome that sorrow and anguish. In fact, I've heard it joked that if what Jesus says in this gospel today were not true, then every mother you would meet would have but one child. They would have the child, endure the pain, always remember it, and say, "I'm never doing that again." And so if you want testimony that what Jesus says is true, anytime you see a family with two or more children, You have it right there. And this does match a common experience we have, whether men or women, that there really are things where the joy of it and the satisfaction of it really does make the pain and difficulty worthwhile. And that's what Jesus is getting at. It lines up with our common human experience of the relationship between joy and pain, and how the two often interact. First, we see that joy is so great that joy can coexist even with pain and difficulty and sorrow and loss. We note that Jesus doesn't say here that after a woman gives birth, she doesn't feel any pain anymore. No, on the contrary, Jesus knows and we know that after childbirth, there is still great pain. What a mother has gone through is difficult and painful and trying and even perilous. And as her body heals, there will be pain associated with that healing. The point is, though, that Jesus isn't saying, look, if you have joy in me, your pain and your difficulty and your suffering, it just vanishes like that. No, the pain often coexists with the joy, which helps us avoid a couple of misconceptions about this particular subject from Jesus. I mean, one is the mistake of thinking that to become a believer in Christ and to follow him means that instantly and fully all the pain and difficulty you may go through in life simply goes away. There have been many who hear perhaps a testimony from a believer that says, you know, in Christ all my sorrows are taken away and carried. In Christ, I have utter joy and peace. And those are true things. But if someone often, maybe they'll get the impression that, well, I'm in pain right now. I'm going under great sorrow. So maybe if I give myself to Christ, if I come to his church, then surely I will get that relief that I crave, just like that. And many people discover, to their disappointment, that that is not precisely the promise that Jesus offers. Pain often overlaps with our joy. The second, though, is the mistake of thinking then that, well, the way to cope with this, to kind of reconcile it all, is to keep the pain suppressed. To think that the picture of a true Christian is someone who never sees or shows their pain to those who are around them. That the way to ensure that you have joy in your heart is to never stop having joy on your face. But that's not the picture of a true Christian. That's the picture of a very dedicated stoic, to keep it all bottled up. The promise of Jesus is neither that you will have instant relief from every pain or sorrow, but nor is it that the way to cope with it is to maintain a tough outer shell that is never softened in any way around anyone. What Jesus teaches here is more realistic, it's more human, which I think makes it more authentic and approachable and believable. Jesus knows what this is like, and he's talking about something we know. The joy is not something that just magically dissipates every possible sorrow and pain, that we often experience pain and joy at the same time. And to say otherwise is too simplistic, because we understand that the joy of Christ is not contingent on or dependent on our circumstances. Because of that, we know then that surely it means that this joy will at times, maybe quite often, overlap our pain, coexist with it. Yet that does not mean that what Jesus talks about is something that is only theoretical or something you only get down the line. Joy is so great that it can and does overwhelm and overcome our sorrow. It even wells up in the midst of deep sorrow and distress. Because what Jesus says here is that it is the case when the mother gives birth that she remembers her anguish no more. It's not to say that, oh, the mother cannot cognitively call to mind the experience of pain in childbirth, but it's to say that when she remembers her children, she doesn't remember the pain of their birth. Something else defines her memory, defines her understanding of it, even her experience of it. And that what defines it is, according to Jesus, this joy, this profound sense that this was absolutely worth it. And we know what that's like, to go through difficulties and then even in the midst of them, and often on the other side of them, to say, you know, this really was worth my while. It really was something that was good to do. And there really was, in the midst of it, a joy that welled up in every dark circumstance, that acted as fresh water often does, cleaning a wound, flushing it, making it fresh and new so that it can heal. This is the kind of joy that Jesus says is deeply embedded in anyone who is connected to him by faith. This is genuine joy that can overwhelm and overcome even pain and sorrow and loss. And this word from Christ gives us some important truths to grasp, to cling to hear, and to hold. First, that there is more to Christian joy than simply saying, yes, it stinks now, but someday in heaven it won't be so bad. It'll be much better. What Jesus is offering here is much different. That there is sorrow and pain that can persist in this life for a time, whether it's chronic physical suffering or emotional distress and oppression or frustrations that come from being a broken, sinful person in a broken, fallen world and all the corruption that comes with it. It really is the case that every aspect of the Christian life is a confrontation with weakness. And yet Christ is saying here that it is not that we say, okay, this is all terrible, but in the end it will all be different. While that is certainly true, Christ in his teaching has always pointed us to the fact that that ultimate blessing that comes in the end is meant to find its way, even has the ability to find its way even into your life this very day. That joy of future promise wells up now as joy in your circumstances now. And the second thing, though, is that this joy that Jesus brings is not something that is reserved only for a super select spiritual few. It's not like reading the fine print of the sweepstakes that says many will enter but few will win. No, this joy that he promises is on offer to every person who hears his word of peace and comfort. If you are a person in pain and sorrow, a person facing loss and frustration and disaster, then Christ is speaking to you and offering you the sure promise of a comfort in joy that nothing can take away. Which is the third and final thing about this, that Christian joy is permanent and deep, deeply rooted where nothing can take it away. Near the end of this enigmatic dialogue, Jesus said, "No one will take your joy from you." He means quite clearly that there is a joy that he offers, that no power and no principality, no force, no circumstance, no pain or loss can actually truly snatch it away from you. This means, friends, that if Christ has risen from the dead, and he has, if he has defeated our ultimate, most invincible enemy, death, and he has, then it stands to reason. We can conclude in confidence, as all before us have done, based on this news, that nothing at all can take away the joy of knowing that in Christ, death itself does not define us, does not cut us short and cut us down, but that in Christ, our life is safe, secure, whole, full of meaning and purpose, and impervious to all of the attacks of the devil, our sinful flesh, and the world. What possible pain is the thinking that can overcome our joy when we know that in the end we will stand upon the earth in our own flesh, raised in our once mortal bodies, now raised imperishable, to see Christ with our eyes and to hear his word of peace with our ears, As surely as men and women heard his word and saw his face in the days following his resurrection. If this is the case, and it is, then nothing, no matter how dark the circumstance, can undo what Christ has done, which means in every moment, the source of your joy and the source of mine is always there, always new, and always able to well up and overcome even our pain and sorrow. Jesus is right to describe this and to teach it with the analogy of birth, because the scriptures do talk about entering this joy as a kind of birth, a new birth into a living hope by the waters of baptism. It can be as startling and different as waking up in a new world. And yes, that's where we are, where all things are illumined by the light of Christ, and joy is the constant and enduring deep tone and tenor of our days, always welling up already now, and a joy that will continue to well up and blossom, not just in these days of our life, but for eternity. Now, I know that all of this can sound very distant. Depending on where you are in life, perhaps you are in the beginning or middle of some long days or years of pain. Perhaps you are at the beginning or in the early stages of your life as a Christian, and you've heard tell of a peace that passes all understanding. You've met people who carry with them a kind of demeanor you can hardly understand in their face of their pain and suffering and loss. And you think, well, how do I get to the point where that is me and I can enjoy this joy and the peace that comes from it? Well, all I can do is repeat for you the wisdom of those who have gone before us and who have in their own lives tasted and seen that the Lord is good. And that is to tell you that they got there through faithful perseverance, clinging always to Christ, knowing that no matter the circumstance, their Christ was their joy. And anyone who has ever learned something difficult, mastered a new skill, knows what this is like. Take, for example, musicians. They know how this goes. For a long time, music, or the experience of music, is quite painful. It's nothing but singing or playing scales, working on exercises endlessly, practice, practice, practice. And for a long time, all of the work that's going into it is resulting in something that no one really considers music. Sometimes it's just a blaring and a blasting and a pounding on keys or an uncertain voice not knowing where to find its tone. And yet every musician who has reached the point where they feel free and joyful in using music as an artistic expression will report that the time came, there was a moment when the pain of practice was overwhelmed and overcome by the joy of music. And if you've done something hard and mastered it over a long period of time, you know this experience. You probably also know that it would be difficult for you to pin down the exact moment and the exact day and hour when you said, aha, now this is music. And yet that time came. In the same way, Christ calls us to persevere and cling to him. The promise is not that you will only have this joy on the last day, but that there is a day and hour in this life. Maybe you'll go back and forth between the two, but there will be days and there will be hours when you look back and you'll say, look at that. I have been full of joy. I am full of peace in this circumstance. I don't know when it happened. I just know that it did. And I know it's because of Christ, and it came on the other side of my perseverance in holding to him. Friends, our Lord calls us to cling to him and his resurrection joy, knowing that in any circumstance, that joy is there for you and for me, now and always. Amen.